talk for a moment about your conference, Doctor? And do you recall now that it was called Current Concepts in Retrolingual Fibroplasia?
Thank you for bringing the program, yes.
Okay. You began, as we discussed earlier, by saying, I am Dr. Dolores Carruth, I am a neonatologist, and I have a dilemma. I would like very much to welcome all the plaintiff's lawyers in the audience, because there's nothing more than we feel we can do than to say the truth, and therefore make us free and you all poor, hopefully. He went on to say, one of the things that makes litigation possible, as you all know, is the different personalities of physicians and attorneys. Physicians say, let's save the baby's lives. Lawyers say, but hurt them at least. Would you tell us, Doctor, what you meant by that statement?
I don't even remember saying it, but doctors are geared to save a baby's life.
Is it your testimony that either Mr. Levenka or Mr. Eldridge or myself or any other attorney in the state would like to see babies hurt by doctors or anyone else?
Oh, I should hope not, Mr. Branson.
Why would you say that to a group comprised of doctors and lawyers?
I guess to be humorous.
Okay.
Since it approximates the truth, doesn't it?
You went on to say, Doctor, and they are giving oxygen to premature infants and they're saving their lives. Isn't that wonderful? And then someone came along and said, yes, but they're giving them retrolingual fibroplasia. And the lawyers said, oh, wonderful. Is it your testimony, Doctor, that Mr. Levenka or Mr. Eldridge, Judge Guy Jones, who will sit on this case, myself or any other attorney in the state of Texas, thinks it's wonderful that oxygen blinds children?
Oh, I should hope not, Mr. Branson. I certainly hope not.
Again, why would you represent to an audience full of physicians that that was your belief?
Because it probably is the truth.
I'm sure Judge Jones will appreciate that.
And in fact, Judge Jones did. I had a reason in a pretrial conference to play that part of the deposition, and Judge Jones took umbrage with the doctor's statement. So at trial, she looked a little different than she did in the deposition, as you can imagine. And she got up and sang like a bird that you would want for a doctor on a defense case. And the judge allowed me to ask the doctor, did you say this, by playing the clip from her deposition where she had said that. Now, the image in the video clip was diametrically opposite from the image on the witness stand. And that became pretty apparent pretty quickly with the jury. So I strongly suggest video and certainly important witnesses. I would suggest it on all of them. Now, we've had a couple of speakers talk about witness preparation, and that's very important. And it's just important that your client or your witness understand the traps and the traps not to step in. But they also need to understand the most important thing is to tell the truth. And if you haven't taken a lot of depositions, there is a trap that you need to avoid, and that is preparing your witness during the deposition. If bad things happen to you, you're better off leaving it where it is, having time to think about it, visiting with the witness, and making an errata change if necessary. But it just doesn't seem to work out when you try to do it on the fly. Here's a lawyer who tried that. This was a manager of a regional area for Parkett Markets, or some service station, grocery store type chain, who had hired Kenneth McDuff, a serial killer who had originally been sentenced to die, and the law changed, and eventually he got out on parole. And nobody had read his application, or they would have found out all that. So here is the manager of the region who had some opinions about how this went down. He worked for a Parkett Market for 2 or 3 months, quit, came back, kidnapped a young lady who was working there, took her out and raped her, robbed her, and killed her.
You're a supervisor for 9 stores,
and you don't personally know any way to find out if a prospective employee has been convicted of a felony, and you, even though you've got their driver's license and Social Security card?
No, we never have. It's not a company policy.
In the history of Dameron Oil, nobody has ever been checked out to see if they were criminals?
Not that I know of.
So as far as you all know, you are hiring cutthroats, criminals, prostitutes, and murderers? As far as you know.
As far as I know.
Expect when you were a clerk there that your employer checked out the background of people he hired to make sure you weren't put in with somebody that was going to rape, rob, and murder you, and had a history of doing all those things. Didn't you expect that?
Yes.
And every employee at Quick Pack and Dameron Oil had a right to expect that, didn't they?
Yes.
And that was not done on Kenneth McDuff, was it, sir?
No.
And that was a conscious indifference to the safety and welfare of every employee he came in contact with, wasn't it, sir?
Objection, it's argumentative.
Yes.